is Frederick Focus. News Radio 930 WFMD talks to newsmakers throughout mid-Maryland with your host, Ryan Hedrick.
And welcome into the show. The temperatures are definitely dropping, and I hope and trust you're having a nice fall weekend. And it is the Frederick Focus show. I am your host, Ryan Hedrick. And as momentum builds for Maryland lawmakers to approve a measure legalizing marijuana next year, education on the plant absolutely continues. Nearly two dozen states allow both medical and recreational use, so laws differentiate in each jurisdiction. In addition, marijuana remains illegal by the federal government and with some businesses strictly operating as a cash business. In fact, a recent poll indicates nearly two-thirds of Maryland residents are in favor of legalizing the recreational use of marijuana. And this poll conducted by Goucher College, results recently found about 60% of residents support making recreational cannabis legal in Maryland, while one-third are against it. This week's guest on the Frederick Focus Show, lawmaker who knows a lot about this issue, and we welcome Delegate Lauren Arakan, who represents District 7 in Baltimore and Harford counties. Delegate Arakan, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you making time for us.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. So how long have Maryland lawmakers been talking about this issue for?
So since I've been down there, I mean, I was elected in 2018, sworn in 19. It's been a big topic. And they did take a trip, a group of them did take a trip out to Colorado a couple years back to sort of get the lay of the land for a state that's already totally legalized it. And when they came back, the reactions that I saw from both Republican and Democrat lawmakers weren't really positive. I think that Colorado tried to sell it to them as a great idea. But I think what many of them saw was an increase in car accidents, serious increase in homelessness in communities, and liability concerns around, you know, if somebody is in an accident out there, there's no rapid test. So there's no way to establish liability like there is with alcohol. So I think, you know, it could have passed sooner if they hadn't gone and gotten up close look at some of the detriments of full legalization to places like Colorado.
What brought this on? The other states I mentioned, I didn't mention state by state, but I said nearly two dozen states allow both medical and recreational use of marijuana. But what brought Maryland's desire, or some people in Maryland's desire, to legalize marijuana? Was it the money or the fact that everybody seems to be doing it right now, so let's just throw in the towel and join them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's two parts. I mean, as you know, Maryland loves to tax things. I mean, every opportunity they get to find a product to tax, we're taxing the internet now in Maryland. You know, that's Maryland for you. So that's I think maybe the first part of it, is that they're looking for revenue so that they can do these big, you know, feel good programs that they love to do here. But the other part of it is that, you know, Black Marylanders are like more than two times as likely to go to jail for cannabis-related crimes. And I think that they're trying to get away from, you know, putting Black people in jail. And the history of cannabis, you know, was clearly in the beginning very much targeted at you know, penalizing the Black community. And this was, you know, 100 years ago. But so I think they're trying to get away from those kind of problems that were the racial issues that started the whole cannabis, you know, making it illegal. We're really focused on trying to penalize Black people originally. So so I think that's one piece for at least for Maryland's Democrats and maybe more for the white liberals. They really want to get some revenue coming in. So I think it's both of those things.
Is this a partisan thing, or is there pretty heavy support on both sides of the aisle for the legalization of marijuana?
I don't think there's a ton of support on the Republican side. I mean, a lot of us, myself included, very much support the medical use of marijuana because it has been shown to have positive impacts on a varied varying degree of different illnesses, PTSD, people that are on chemo, people that have severe arthritis and chronic pain. So medical is like kind of in its own separate category. I think there's a lot of Republican support for medical use. For recreational, I don't think there. I have not talked to very many Republicans who think that recreational is a good idea. And a lot of that hinges on the problems around liability and making sure that victims of crimes involving marijuana, especially vehicular crimes, are properly protected. And that is not the case in the states that have legalized it.
There seems to be a misconception about the states that have legalized it. I think of Colorado as a prime example you brought up at the outset of the interview, that think of this as a one-size-fits-all solution to financial problems that beset the state. Is Colorado making money off of marijuana?
I don't think so. And here's what they thought was going to happen. I mean, certainly there's more revenue coming in, but there's also increased expenditures now because it actually hasn't taken care of the black market at all. So, you know, there's even more people dealing in illegal marijuana now there because people are sort of tourists are being attracted to those communities because they can go there and get marijuana, but they don't really care if they're getting it legally or illegally. You know what I mean? So I think that they've created a whole other system of problems with the way that they implemented their program there. And I've not seen anything that says that they have you know, really changed the outcomes of their financial issues just because of marijuana. Certainly they're bringing money in, but what money do they now have to spend to mitigate the homelessness issue, the issue with, you know, much more frequent car accidents? I mean, I have two family members who have homes. I have many family members who have homes in Colorado, but my sister lives in Colorado full time. She has had multiple accidents with people who originally have admitted that they were smoking, and then when the police show up, say that, oh, no, we don't use that product. So it is a problem for victims of you know, car accident related issues. And the same thing happened to my mother when she was there visiting. She has a home there as well, and she had the exact same thing happen. A young girl hit her, apologized, said she was very high. When the police showed up, she said, "Oh no, I've never smoked that. I don't know anything about that." So it's very concerning.
Yeah, taking car accidents out of the equation, as we talked to Delegate Lauren Arakan. She's from Baltimore and Harford counties, kind enough to join us on the Frederick Focus Show. And we are talking about the prospect of Maryland legalizing marijuana next year. And as I cited, that Goucher poll at the outset of the show recently found about 60% of residents. Now, we're not sure what type of residents they polled or what part of Maryland, but law enforcement seems like they would have their hands full if the legalization of marijuana went through. In your opinion, a delegate, do you think that would be more or less problems for law enforcement if this whole thing goes through?
I definitely think it would be more issues for law enforcement. I mean, certainly, you know, they wouldn't have to be writing citations and stuff for marijuana anymore. So I mean, maybe that would be better. But, you know, I always like to think about the Al Capone situation, right? We got Al Capone was a prolific murderer, right? He was a gangster. He killed people. But we weren't able to get him on that because he left no witnesses. So what we got him on was tax evasion. Think about the amount of people that we might have in prison right now who are murderers, who left no witnesses and are in jail right now for sort of lesser charges. We're keeping the streets safer because these people were in jail because they were also trafficking marijuana. And that's my concern as well. And I'm sure that's the law enforcement's concern. And I know it's the state's attorney's concern, is that, you know, they prosecute people for what they're able to, but that's not all. Many of these people are guilty of far worse crimes. But they just were smart enough, sadly, to make sure there was no witnesses to their most atrocious crimes. And so I'm very concerned. I mean, we're already having a serious public safety problem, as you know, in the state of Maryland, particularly in the Baltimore metro and the sort of D.C. metro area. Frederick suffers terribly from gang-related crimes. How many of those gangbangers have we put away on lesser crimes like marijuana dealing?
interesting to me that the money, the amount of money that goes into lobbying is fascinating to me, both at the federal and state level. Are there big interest groups behind the push to legalize marijuana?
I certainly haven't been contacted by very many, but, you know, because I am a conservative, they don't probably need my vote necessarily. So, I mean, they Normal is the only organization that I'm aware of that's really pushing this. There may be some justice organizations that are also working on it. I haven't yet met with them for this session, but I imagine what we're going to see is a lot of the sort of social justice warrior groups are going to really pile on heavily. And it's really going to be just along the grain of, you know, these policies were put in place to put black people in prison, and we need to overturn them because that's exactly what they've done. So I feel like that's what we're going to have coming towards us. But so far, the onslaught hasn't happened. But as you know, the chair of my committee, the Judiciary Committee, is chairing a committee that's looking at how to do it in Maryland.
Right.
And they're planning to put it on the ballot. So it's definitely coming. The question is, what form is it going to be in when it finally hits
the fan.
Speaker's desk?
Yeah. So Normal is NORML.org. I looked up the website, and kind of shocking to me. And, you know, I don't know what your thoughts are, but I have always believed, based on my family experience and other experiences I've had in life, that marijuana is a gateway drug. Your thoughts on the potential for addiction to really ramp up with addicts and potential addicts if we do normalize this stuff and legalize it for recreational use? Your thoughts about the tendency that somebody may have to become addicted to other drugs other than marijuana?
Yeah, so marijuana itself, right, isn't really addicting. I think the people that are sort of daily users, I mean, look, I grew up in a nice part of Maryland where kids had, you know, too much disposable income from their families. We did a lot of drugs when we were young. I'm not going to, you know, color my childhood any differently than it really was. So in my experience, there was people that were kind of destined to use hard drugs. They started with marijuana because it was more socially acceptable, but I think that they had serious emotional issues going on, and there was a path for those people, I think, either way, at least from my own experience. Statistically, I'm not sure if other states have seen an increase in other types of illegal drug use in their communities. I imagine Colorado has, because they've been essentially importing people who like to do drugs into their state because of their policy changes around marijuana. So, but we look at the individual person, I think many people simply start out with a drug that's the most socially acceptable. But in the end, many of them, the emotional issues they're dealing with are going to draw them to things that are going to be a little bit stronger in terms of their effect. So I haven't really had any personal experience with it as a gateway drug necessarily, where it sort of opens the door to it. I think most of those folks that I know, at least, that was the path they were on no matter what, at least from my experience. So, but it really remains to be seen. We won't really know the impact until we put it into place. I mean, like many policies, you just don't see the full picture until it's almost too late. You know what I mean?
Right. So the session starts in January, correct?
Yeah. We do have a special session that starts December the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
But we should only be touching on redistricting. If they do try and put any other bills in, they're really opening a can of worms, I think. So hopefully they won't make that mistake.
So what would the framework of marijuana and how... I guess let me back it up real quick. How long, how far along are we in the talks? I mean, have we decided who's going to grow it, what we're going to do with it, how we're going to tax it? Where are those things? Because they seem to be the basics, the starters for at least the structure of a bill.
Yeah, I don't think we've come down sort of hard on a decision yet. I know that Chairman Clippinger is working on that right now. The vibe that I've gotten is that they're going to be very, very focused on making sure that the things that happened with the medical marijuana policy do not happen with this legalization policy. So I think it's going to be highly restricted, but I think they're going to prioritize you if you're a black or brown person. You're going to be more likely to get, a license to, grow, distribute, sell. I'm not sure how they're going to be able to do that, but that's what I'm hearing is that their plan is to make things right socially, and their theory is that to do that they have to make sure that black and brown people are the people benefiting from this in some way, shape, or form. To me, policies that focus on one race over another is clearly the wrong direction to go in, but that seems to be their motivating factor. So I'm waiting like the rest of us to see how they think that they're going to do that. But I would anticipate it would be a highly restricted market. It's going to be something I'm sure where there's only a few people that are allowed to participate in, and those people are going to make boatloads of money. Mm.
Maryland Delegate Lauren Arkon joining us right here on the Frederick Focus Show. We're talking about the possible legalization of marijuana, and this has been a big push. Nearly two dozen states do it. I think in Washington, D.C., you're allowed to possess small amounts and smoke it in the open. I mean, D.C. is a mess right now. The streets are laden with violence, and we're trying not to get to a point here in Maryland, and we already have in Baltimore, where you just don't go to Baltimore because, quite frankly, it's kind of dangerous, and you have to base your time and your energy around where you think you can keep your family safe. And some people think that legalizing marijuana will make our communities a little bit more unsafe. Have you heard about any tax rates, a delegate, that would be attached? I mean, you're talking about people making a lot of money, and we know Maryland loves to tax, tax, tax. I mean, this seems like something that they would tax the you-know-what out of.
Absolutely. I would be surprised if we don't see a tax on this that's very much akin to the cigarette tax. I think that, that's probably where they're going to go. And they're already going to have the programs ready on the waiting line to say, oh, we're going to use this money for these great programs. They're probably going to try and say that it's going to be a payment for the Kerwin's, full implementation, which, honestly, what could be more ironic than selling drugs to people to pay for education? I mean, it's just so bizarre.
Right.
But that's Maryland. That's the way these people think. That's the way the Democrats think in Maryland. They just want to, tax and spend, tax and spend. And they just do these terrible policies as justification for their, irresponsible spending programs. It's embarrassing, really.
What is it like to be a conservative in Annapolis?
Oh, it's hard. It's hard to be a conservative in Maryland. There are more of us than sometimes people realize. Mm-hmm. But in Annapolis, especially if you're as far to the right as I am, you can be very much marginalized. I mean, they will never pass a bill with Arkon as the lead sponsor on it. Let me tell you that. It doesn't matter if it's a bill that I took from a Democrat that the Democrats are going to take back next year and pass themselves. They'd never pass it with my name on it, which really is kind of freeing because it allows me to be very honest about what I think when I'm not worried about passing my bills. There have been a few times that they've, come to me and offered me my bills to be passed if I would just behave a little bit better or help them in some way. And I just have to giggle and think, oh, that's so cute that you thought I came down here just to get my name on things. My name's already on the door, and that's all I needed. So I'm going to go ahead and say what I think, and even if it's uncomfortable for everybody.
So you're talking about, this is an interesting dynamic, and I didn't expect the conversation to go like this, but I want to learn more. People want to learn more about this, how this works. So if you bring a bill to somebody and you want it passed, it's not going to pass, and they have bills that they will negotiate with you on if you compromise your principles to agree with them on something you may not necessarily agree about. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Wow.
That's how politics is done, man. Have you ever watched House of Cards?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is a great little story. When we were picking the new speaker, you've probably heard that the Republican caucus and the Black caucus had gotten together and we decided to support Derek Davis. Mm-hmm. And when it came down to it, the teachers union had put so much pressure on the Democrats in Maryland that they, you know, had told them, look, we're going to support a primary opponent against every single one of you, every single one of you. And they know that's not a bluff because the teachers union has bodies and they will show up and they will lobby and they will work polls for your opponent. They don't do it to Republicans, but they will do it to Democrats. And so, you know, we had this situation where the Black caucus was worried that they were, you know, going to essentially be attacked by the union. And so they had to come up with a compromise candidate, which is how we got Speaker Jones. And when we came back to the floor finally after what was clearly a knockdown dragout in the Democrat caucus room across the hall from us, the first person that stood up to speak was Derek Davis, and he stood up to nominate Adrian Jones to be the Speaker of the House. And the first words out of his mouth were, House of Cards ain't got nothing on us. Yeah, I just, you know, we all kind of laughed. But, yeah, politics in Maryland, and we're not the only state where it's like this, but I think we're one of the worst, you know, compared to many other states in terms of, you know, what people can do. But we've had a subcommittee chair stripped of her subcommittee on the Democrat side just for standing up on the floor and disagreeing about a bill. I mean, they stripped her of that subcommittee publicly on the floor of the House right after she stood up to try and disagree with them. You're not even allowed to speak out if you're on the Democrat side. I mean, they don't have that kind of sway, really, over Republicans. We don't need them. You know, we represent our own people, and our own people don't care what they say about us. But and the teachers union certainly isn't going to take an election from a Republican. But they do have other ways. They can take your parking space. They can take away your staff. They can take your office from you. They can kill all your bills. And, you know, there are ways that they can make people who maybe didn't get into this gig with the strong backbone. There's ways that they can make you uncomfortable. Certainly as a Republican, they just don't have a lot of luck doing that with me. And I already picked the hardest committee that nobody wants to be on. So
which was what?
There's no, the Judiciary Committee. That's kind of where they send people who can't behave and play nice to sandbox, because we have the longest, you know, we had the longest hours. We gun day not last cycle, but the cycle before. I mean, that went till 3 o'clock in the morning, I think, just nonstop. So, you know, they have their ways to penalize people. So it does take a strong backbone to be really to be a legislator at all. But especially to be a conservative legislator, if your goal was to get things passed with your name on it, then you'll certainly be sacrificing something to get those big things passed. Now, we always get bond bills. Every district gets a bond bill, you know, that kind of those little things. But if you're passing a big comprehensive bill and you're a Republican, I shudder to think what you may have done to be able to get that through.
Yeah. Now, we have 2 minutes left for this answer, but bring us inside that session when it starts in January. What should residents be watching for? What is going to be the hottest topic on the table?
Wow. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. I think a lot of the COVID-related policies are going to be very concerning. One of the things that I get contacted the most about is preventing these mandatory COVID shots for children. Parents are really uncomfortable. I mean, many of the parents got the shot but got very sick or still got COVID, and they really don't want to get this shot for their children. And now they've seen the FDA approve it for children. They're very worried about a mandate on school children. So I think we'll probably see some serious knockdown dragouts about that kind of COVID-related mandatory policies. I think they want to see their kids unmasked. So that's going to be another issue that we're going to be, I think, fighting a lot. And economic-related stuff. I mean, our economies are seriously, seriously struggling under this administration. And you saw what happened in Virginia yesterday. It was, or the day before, it was incredible. I mean, parents, I think mostly parents have just had whiplash. They have just said, absolutely not. This has gone too far. we're done with you guys driving the train. You're driving us into the ground. So it should be interesting to see how does that impact Democrats this upcoming session in Maryland. Are they going to learn from the mistakes of their colleagues just to the south of us? Mm. Or are they going to double down? Because what I'm hearing right now is doubling down, which, you know, would bode very well for conservatives come the next election cycle. But we still have a whole other, you know, a whole new session where we're going to have to deal with them passing, you know, very, very extremely far left bad policy.
Delegate Arcon, we got to go. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. You've been listening to the Frederick Focus Show.
Frederick Focus has been a public service of News Radio 930 WFMD.